We live, we love, we serve.
John chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to be reading it from the New Revised Standard Version. John 15, verses 1 through 4. And it reads like this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Let's go to God in prayer. God of the vine, who sees us and walks with us and loves us in every season of our lives, we thank you for the power to grow. We thank you for evolution. We thank you for the ways in which you never leave us nor forsake us, regardless of whether our branches are full or not. In this moment, God, see each and every individual in this building. You know exactly what they need. You know exactly what they came for. And so, God, let something in this sermon, let something in this worship experience touch them in such a specific way that they have no choice but to say hallelujah and to know that you see them, that you are remembering them, and that you are still a God that answers prayers. We love you, God. We are grateful, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Verses 1 and 2, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Most often people will tell you that if you want to see the beauty of a vineyard, that you should visit in late summer or early fall. Because when you go and visit a vineyard at that time, all of the vines are sprawling with all of these plump grapes that are hanging low to the earth. It's a harvest that was made possible by what those branches endured in previous seasons. But the first time I visited a vineyard, it was in the dead of winter, and it did not look like the pictures. It did not look like what I had envisioned. There was nothing green about it. It was the dormant season for the vines. And so the skeletons looked like twisted wood. It was cold and foggy. It was just rows and rows of knotted branches and barren trellises. And it made me wonder how all that barrenness could produce a harvest. And as I walked surveying the beauty in those desolate vines, I kind of started to feel like me and the vine were kin, like we were family, because I knew what it was like to feel like I was in an unproductive season, to be drained, depleted, unfruitful, feeling completely and utterly stripped. You ever been there? In those seasons where you just feel like it's loss after loss after loss, and it feels like everything is being cut away from you. The friends are gone, relationships are changing, the job is changing, opportunities are drying up. And in the midst of that, even when you feel like all these things are gone, you ever feel that feeling like you are on the brink of something? Like you're on, you like, you know that there's something else that's in the air. It's like the air is surging with possibilities, and you know that there's more that's supposed to be happening for your life, but you just can't grasp it. You can't get it. You can't figure out how to make it work in your life. And that's frustrating because you know that there's something more for you beyond this season, but you just don't know how to get there. And so you feel inactive. And in those times when we are experiencing a lot of loss, we as believers are really good at trying to reconcile our loss. We are not really good about sitting in complexity and nuance, or we want an answer for everything. And I feel like as believers, when we want an answer for everything, then what we do is we pull out our scripture Bible greatest hits. You know what I mean? You know, everyone, all of us have those scriptures that we go to. If you've been in church long enough, it's the scriptures and the things that you pull out when you're trying to encourage yourself, when you're trying to feel better. They're the things that make you feel like there's more hope. Y'all don't got a scriptures, you know, y'all don't got a scriptures greatest hits? I know I do. And when the things start going rough, baby, I pull out that vine. I'll be like, ooh, all right, what scripture? I put it on there and I'm like, all right, Lord, speak to me. Because we like to feel comforted and knowing that when things are not showing up the way that we anticipated, that we have some hope. There's something comforting in knowing that. And John 15, for a lot of people, is one of those greatest hit scriptures. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. And y'all know it, they don't say it like that. You know, you talk to someone and they be like, well, yeah, child, you know, it's my pruning season. Anybody ever said, God is pruning me? You ain't never seen a social media post where they're talking about, oh, this is being moved away. This is being cut. It must be your pruning season. Y'all ain't never used that, because church folk love that pruning language. Because there's something comforting in the loss, that knowing that our meaning has some type of loss. And we have built whole theologies around the idea that when things fall away, God cut it from our lives. We've turned pruning into a universal language for it to explain every major cut. It's like you treat God like God is your celestial bouncer at the door of your life, cutting this, saying you can get in, you can't get in. And that is how we treat it. But not all cuts in our lives are the same. And many of the cuts that have been made in our lives are actually not pruning. Some cuts just happen to us. And some cuts we actually made happen. And we've called it pruning, whether it was God or not. Because sometimes the job just let you go. That it wasn't God. Sometimes the friendship just faded, or the door closed when your hand wasn't even on the knob. Sometimes you just left. All cuts are not the same. And here's often how you know, because God's cuts, God's prunings don't look like our cuts. When God prunes, it produces fruits. If you're cutting, sometimes you ever seen those people, we all may know them, but if not, don't say them out loud. Just look straight, because they might be sitting next to you on a pew. Just look straight ahead. But you've ever seen those people, and every 3 seconds, they are changing jobs. They kicking out friends. They moving cities. They moving, bouncing, baby. They here, there, everywhere, and they be like, oh, it's pruning my boundaries. This is not good for me, but they are exactly the same. So the situation changed, but they did not. That is not pruning, because God's pruning produces fruit. But we all know those type of people who we will scapegoat God into every decision that we make in our lives. And the reality is that that is not the same thing. And it reminded me of this quote I read from Molly Vass. It says, the stuff of our lives doesn't change. It is we who change in relationship to it. The stuff of our lives doesn't change. It is we who change in relation to it. And it made me think about how we have misunderstood pruning. Because so often we say God is pruning this or God is pruning that. But if we look at the text, that's not what it says. It says, every branch in me that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Let's go back to school. Who is the vine grower in the text? Come on, God, yes, yes. Just say it loud and kind of be, if you, it's okay, God. God is the vine grower. Who is the vine? Who? No. Jesus is the vine. It's okay. We're going to say we didn't read the whole chapter, so we're going to give you a pass on that, all right? Jesus is the vine. So who is the branch? And so every branch in me, so Jesus is saying every branch in me, God prunes. So what gets pruned? We do. God doesn't prune our circumstances. God prunes us. The tangled parts of us, the dead parts of us, the parts that are siphoning life from what could actually bear fruit, God prunes us. And sometimes when God prunes us, some things get cut back. when things are realigned and redirected, some people in positions begin to fall off because you've been pruned. But God doesn't prune the circumstances in your life. God prunes you, and they fall away because you have been pruned. And that is a crucial distinction that we need to understand and make. You ever seen those people, and they're like, oh, you look different. You know, they can say it two ways. They're both compliments to me. If they say, oh, you look different. Okay, I see that glow up. Yeah, okay, Sertina, I see you. Hey, come on, braids. You know, then we start talking, we just body part. Come on, knee. It's like, I see that God has done something in you, and I'm recognizing that something is happening. But then there's also, oh, you seem different. Something's not quite... We don't even talk anymore. You know, like, there's that too, but that's a compliment to me too, because really what you're telling me is that I've changed, but you can't handle the change. So they're both compliments. It's just the tone, but both tones get to the same thing, that I have changed. I have allowed for God to prune me, and some people, some situations, and some things are falling off. And sometimes in those moments when we are getting pruned, we start to think that something is wrong with us. But really, if you look at it, being pruned is proof of your potential. Because what it says in the text is that the fruitless branches get removed. They become firewood, baby. They're not even connected to the branch anymore. They're not connected to the vine. They get cut away. So if you're getting cut back and you're being pruned, it's because God sees something in you worth developing. So sometimes we're looking at those seasons and those places where we are feeling like things are being cut and stripped away and we feel bad. But really what God is like, I see your potential. I see that there's something that I can do here, and there are some things that need to be moved, taken away out of your life so that you can really reach harvest. And that's hard sometimes because pruning happens in the winter. It happens in dormancy. It happens when you're already bare and you're stripped. And so that does not feel good because you're like, I'm already in this raw place, and now there are things that are being taken away from me. You ever mourn the things, even though they weren't good things for you? You ever mourn the death of the toxic things in your life? It's like you knew that you hated the job and it was beneath your potential. But when you don't have it anymore, you out here like, Lord, help. You knew the relationship was toxic. But now it's winter, and it's been a real cold winter, and you don't have no one to cuddle with, and now you upset. You knew the opportunity was going to bring you more money, but less peace. And still, when those things get clipped and removed from us, we're feeling away. You know the friendship was bleeding you dry, baby. Taking everything out of you. Every time you were around the person, you felt zapped. But still, when you can't pick up the phone to call them, you feel the way. And sometimes when we are in those places where we are getting pruned, we mourn even the death of the toxic things in our lives. But the reality is that God prunes us not because God is trying to strip us down. But if you think about it, if you're full of foliage, there's some words I can't say really well. Foliage, don't come for me. I know. I can spell it. And I know what it means. Y'all gonna leave me be. But if you're full of foliage, it's three syllables, y'all, that I know that part, okay? I got a master's, I promise, and I can read, I promise. I got all the things. But anyway, that word, if you're full with that word, all your branches, all your leaves, all those things, and God comes with the shears, you're like, well, God, why you wanna, you see how nice my leaves are? You see how big these grapes are? Why would you want to prune? And when we have all of the stuff, sometimes we want to fight God's shears. We don't want God to cut anything. So that's why some of the cuts have to come when we're barren. Because, you know, we go to God different in the high moments and the low moments. You know, when it's low, you be like, Lord. Y'all be prostrate. Y'all be at the welling. The welling steps be full. Deacons can't keep enough sheets on y'all. But when it's good, you'd be like, oh, thanks, God. Hey, you might do your little devotional. But it hits different when you're in your high moments and your low moments, and we're more likely to think we did things on our own. when we got all the stuff, all the branches. So that is why sometimes the cuts have to happen when things are dormant, because otherwise we might try to hide behind our productivity. And we don't want God to cut us. But see, this is the thing. God saw the dead wood all of the time. But dormancy is when you finally see it too and you stop pretending it isn't there. Because see, when you're doing well, you ever let something stay connected to you too long? Because you got so much going on. Because everything, like, your life is giving success. So you know you really should cut that thing, that person, that situation off. But you are caught up in all of your productivity, all of your success, that you let the thing stay on too long and siphon the energy out of you. And the reason that God prunes us is because it allows the energy to be redirected to the things that can grow. But if that happens in another season besides winter, then we might keep things on us longer than we should. And here's the beautiful thing. You let God prune you. You look nice. You out here, your branches are looking good. The dead wood is gone. The tangled parts are clear. And here after you go through in phenology, that's the season of things changing. And in the season of the vine, after you go through dormancy, it hits spring, which we really would love to see right now here in New York. So budding starts happening. Blooming starts happening. You start seeing little green leaves come off the branches. The grapes start turning. And after blooming and budding, then there's veraison. And that's when things start changing from the inside out. The berries soften. The colors creep in. You're still attached to the same vine, but you're no longer what you were. Veraison announces that ripening has begun and harvest is on the way. So that's really in your lives if you think about it. You ever been through a low point? And then after you go through all that, you let God clear away all the things. You come back out and you're like, hello. And and someone's like, it's me. Don't do that. You look in the mirror and you recognize yourself. It's like you're seeing yourself for the first time. You ever come out of some stuff? And because you forgot what you look like in the midst of the stuff. And then you come back and you come out of the stuff and you look at yourself and you're reminded of who you are. That's where you start seeing all of that progress, because you survived the cutting. You made it through the cold. Your fruit is forming. You've done the work. You faced the winter. You let God cut away what was dead. And you're like, oh, man, finally the hard part is over. Growth, opportunity, momentum. You're like, surely, 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 harvest is next. It has to be, right? This is the confirmation that harvest is on the way. But what you didn't know about what was about to come next. Because pruning removes what's dead. But what happens when God starts coming for what's alive? A few years ago, my life looked like an abundant vineyard. I had, my writing was on the rise. I had gotten a deal with my writing partner. We were writing a spinoff to a popular Netflix show. I had gotten to the Writers Guild. I got a book deal. I was doing some business partnerships with some folks, helping them build their businesses. I was making more money than I had ever made. My skin was clear. I wasn't stressed. I was rolling on both sides of the bed, if y'all know what I mean, my chilling knee. I had all the space in the bed. I was happy. Things were good. I was like, oh, surely this is harvest. Surely after what I had been through and gone through coming up out of all of that mess, that, oh my gosh, thank you, God, that finally you saw me. And so all these opportunities, all these things were happening, and then slash, one after another, all of them started to go. The show didn't happen. The opportunities dried up. The book got delayed. My friendship started going off crazy. I had to end the business relationships. Dating was a dumpster fire. I wasn't about to be here. If you were there during this time, I was quitting this job every week. I was like, I quit. I was like, I was giving Shrek every time you saw me. I was angry. I was bitter. And it was back to back to back for 2 years. You may have not seen it, but in the background, because some folks don't know what you do, and they don't know what it takes for you to still show up in the midst of your loss and what you're experiencing. But for 2 years, back to back to back, this was happening, and I couldn't understand it. I was like, because this isn't pruning. because pruning takes away the dead things. But these weren't dead things. These were not harmful things. These were not toxic things. And so I thought I did something wrong. I didn't have the language for what was happening to me. Because it wasn't dead wood. It wasn't stuff that I felt needed to go. So why was it going? In viticulture, after the dormant season, after budding and blooming, when all of those grapes and clusters and things are on the vine grower goes back through the rows with shears. And the vine grower cuts the healthy clusters off of the branch. It's called thinning. We're not taught about thinning. We don't have church language for thinning. We know, the texts don't even say it. We know pruning and we know harvest. We don't know what thinning is. That is, see, because pruning removes the dead stuff, the diseased stuff, the damaged stuff, the unproductive stuff. Like I said, so it can redirect energy. Thinning is the removal of what is viable, what is healthy, what is productive. And it happens during the growing season because the vine has more fruit than it can bring to maturity. You have too much fruit. And you're like, what? I got too much fruit? I have too many good things in my life? But God, we pruned, we did this together. And now you're telling me the result of these things on the other side is that I have too much fruit. And we don't have language for that. Because, you know, it will tell us the tree is known by its fruit. Everything we hear is about harvest. Reap and you shall sow. It doesn't tell us about thinning. We don't have language for that. We discount the importance of being able to name your experience. We discount the importance of language. When we don't know how to name something, when we don't have the language for it, we can often feel isolated and alone because we think we're the only person going through that thing. Naming something gives something that feels singular, a universal kind of feeling. Oh, I'm not by myself. Oh, I didn't do something wrong. Because in that moment, when all of those things started slashing, I was really like, okay, God, what happened? Because this is the result of doing the things that I thought that you told me to do, of allowing myself to be pruning. 1 + 1 is supposed to equal 2, but it's giving 7. Like, what is this? And because we don't have language for it, we don't understand it. And I didn't understand it too. I didn't understand that was in it until I was in that vineyard. And it had this sign that said the life cycle of the vine. And right between blooming and harvest, it explained thinning. And for the first time, I said, oh, that's what this is. That's what is happening. Because nobody really mourns the dead wood. Even in hindsight, you might be sad about the things being taken away from you in the moment. But when it's dead and toxic stuff, later on, you can be like, God, I thank you. But when it's the good things that go, you're not necessarily like, hey, God, I thank you. You're like, hey, God, what's up? What's going on? Because I let myself be pruned. I'm out here flourishing. Look at all this. I thought we did this together. Why do I need to be pruned? Why do I need to be thinned when I was already pruned? I'm already bearing fruit. But here's the thing. If all the clusters are left on the vine, you'll get lots of grapes. But they'll be small, underdeveloped, sour, mediocre. Don't nobody want nasty wine. And because the reality is that the vine actually can't ripen everything that it grows. It literally cannot. Resources are finite. And the branches can't keep all of the grapes and stay healthy. And the reality is you don't know what the vine can realistically hold until it blooms. You don't know how much it can carry. You don't know how much it can take until you start seeing the clusters growing. And so something sometimes has to go so something else can ripen. Otherwise, the entire vine becomes so stressed. And here's the thing. It doesn't just get stressed for this season. It impacts it for future seasons. Imagine that you carry too much weight in this season and it impacts your vitality in the next season. What we're unwilling to let go of, what we're unwilling to not let God thin from us now, affects how we are productivity later. Some of us might think about some things differently. If we knew that what I'm doing, the choice I'm making right now is going to impact me 3 years from now. But we don't always think about it that way because we want things right now. And sometimes God thins because God wants you to focus. What I realized is I had all these good things going on, but really it was allowing me not to focus on some of the things I really needed to hone in on. So I was doing all this stuff and God's like, oh, okay, so you're just going to keep doing all this stuff with all these other people, but you're not going to do the things that I called you to? Oh, because you want the check now and you need more money now, you're not willing to delay the gratification to do the things that I've asked you to? And that was what was happening. I was helping everybody else with their things. I was focused on this. And God was like, no, but are you going to finish writing this book? And I'm like, maybe. But I didn't want to focus on that. I was afraid to move into that. And sometimes we're actually afraid to step out and do the stuff that God is calling us to. You ever been there where you're so good at helping everybody else do their thing? But when it's time for you to step in on your own thing, that same boldness and courage that you have, that same, you be hyping your other, you be like, go ahead, friend, write the book, do the thing, let me read the proposal. And when it comes down for you to sit and do the, you're like, about that. So having all the stuff on the vine allows us not to focus on the things that God is really calling us to focus on. Instead of doing what we need to be doing. And you probably all got that thing in your head right now. You know the thing that you were avoiding. It's like, I can't do it. I get in my house, I know I'm supposed to write, and I'm like, are those dust balls in the corner? How did those get there? You are focusing on whatever else outside of what God is asking you to do. And sometimes we even cut things in our lives to avoid God's formation because we rather have the shears in our hand than allow God to have the shears in God's hand. Because if God has the shears in God's hand, we don't know what God is going to take away. So we're like, God, I'll do it. And we go cut off some little baby. Because we don't want you to take this thing. But this thing is killing us. But we don't want God to take that because it's painful. And the reality is that pruning is painful. Thinning is painful. But again, one of my line sisters preached a sermon around this text, and she said that pruning is painful, but it's never harmful. And sometimes we need to learn the difference between pain and harm. Now, when you leave things, cut things because they are harming you, like that's not what we're talking about. There are some situations, spaces, and things that you have to just get out of and move. That is different. That is not the same as the avoidance that we do sometimes because we don't want to move in the direction of where God is trying to get us to go. Those are two different things. And we're running from formation. But it's painful, not harmful. And really, it's because we're greedy. That's why thinning is hard to accept. That's why thinning feels cruel, because we actually prefer abundance over quality. We'd rather have more. We'd rather have more saggy, raggedy, sour grapes in excess than a smaller cluster with quality grapes. We'd rather say yes to everything, even if it means nothing ripens, than trust that the vine dresser gets to decide what stays. Thinning offends our greed. Because in thinning, really when it cuts all those extra clusters off, it gives better air circulation and light exposure. The grapes that survive thinning get more access to the sun, S-U-N. Theologically though, cutting some things from our life gives us access to the sun, too, S-O-N. And when we're able to let things be thinned and cut, we can hear things with clarity. When our life isn't overcrowded, even with good things, that density will block out the light. But we've lost so much. When you've lost a lot, you tend to hoard. We have scarcity mentality, right? We don't have that. It's Black History Month, so scarcity is kind of in our bloodline. We've been taught to hold on to. We don't know when the next thing is coming. We don't know. It makes us selfish. It makes us competitive. It makes us not collaborate. It's in our bloodline spiritually, but also it's in our blood because as a people, we had to fight so much. And so sometimes we don't want to let things go. Man, listen, if proof of not letting things go, if you ever went to, did your mama, I'm not, no shade, mama, I love you very much. How many plastic bags did your mother keep under the sink after every time you went to the grocery store? It was like, why do we have all of these bags? Everything, put it in a bag. You're putting your laundry in a bag, you're putting groceries, everything. Why do we have so many plastic bags? And we're making a joke, but why do I have so many napkins in the middle of in my car? Napkins and ketchup. I don't even like ketchup that much. You can't throw nothing away. And now it may not be bags, it be the takeout containers. You don't even eat that much. You don't even got the matching top for the bottom. We will do it that sometimes we will go out to eat and know that we're not going to finish the food, but we feel bad about wasting it, so we will take it home and just throw it away at home in the trash. Yeah, y'all laughing because y'all know. Hoarding. Scarcity. Maybe I'm going to eat this later. You are not about to eat that corner of that sandwich if you don't stop. Baby, we be holding on to it, don't we? My mom be like, oh, I'm going to eat this later. That pizza has been here for 3 days. And I say, because it's funny, because we all do it. You'd be like, is the chicken that bad? Let me smell this. Is this okay? You got more chicken in the freezer. Hoarding. Greed. But it's really from fear and scarcity. We are scared to let things go. And we're making joke of it, making life of it. But how does that translate into our spiritual life when God is like, let it go? And you're like, uh-uh. This might be as good as it can get. But if God is telling you, let it go, how could this be as good as it gets? That is the illusion of blooming. Blooming makes you think that it's harvest. Blooming is actually just a glimpse of what harvest can be. But between the blooming and the harvest, you have to thin. And some of us are mistaking ours right now. You think that this is the best as it's about to be for you because it's as good as it's ever been, but it's not good enough for God. God has more for you and wants to do more for you, but you refuse to allow yourself to be thin. God is like, okay, I gave you that thing, now give it back to me. And you're like, but I can't. It's the same way of tithing. We get money and God's like, okay, now give this little piece back. Oh, I can't. But if my giving it opened me up to harvest, right now y'all are mistaking bloom for harvest. And you're missing out on so many things that God wants to do because you refuse to let yourself be thinned. Mark Nepo says, the greedy one gathered all the cherries while the simple one tasted all the cherries in one. Simplicity. Sometimes we have to do less. Because presence is not the same as accumulation. And sometimes when our attention is so many different places, we are not present in any situation. Some of y'all are right here in this moment. God is trying to speak something to you, and you are in 5 hours from now. You're in the building, but you're not in the building. And right in this moment, you are missing what God has for you because you're focused on the next thing. Presence is not the same as accumulation. We want everything. And greed works its appetite on anything. When we believe, especially when we are behind, or that we have less than we should, we then think we want more and we need more. And we see this, and I know some folks, I know they be feeling away because Pastor Mike be up here and he be getting in on social media. And you, I know some of us are uncomfortable about that because we know how we treat social media. We know how much time we give to it. Some of us are making livelihoods off of it. And so you feel the way. But the reality is that while there are some positive things, it does increase our mentality for greed. Because we think we should have more. Because we think that we're behind. I was talking to someone the other day and they were like, I gave up social media and I shopped so much that you do not need them $5 pants from TikTok. And that hair growing serum that everyone got paid to promote and doesn't really work because when they pull off their wigs, they have no edges. Stop buying it. You know, no shade to no edges. You know, mine just got here. So we're fine. But my point is there are all of these things that tell us that we should have more. We should be doing more. And it makes us feel like if we have more, it will fill the void that pain has caused. That somehow it will make us whole. But we can't have it all. So maybe instead of asking, why is God taking this? The question should be, am I willing to trust that fewer clusters ripen fully is better than an overcrowded vine that produces a mediocre product? Because see, that's the illusion. All the stuff gives the illusion that you don't have mediocre grapes. And in this day and age, there is a lot of mediocrity just flying all. Baby, everybody is an expert on everything. And it is really, it's like you are mediocre at best. But you got a platform. You can turn on and record. You got the right filters. You got the right thing so people think you're experts. And you're over here thinking, what's wrong with me? Because you're trying to be great in this one or these one or two things. And this person looks like they're killing it. Most of them, I tell you, they probably not. They're probably not. But the illusion of all the leaves and all the grapes. And here you are with these big, juicy grapes. And you're like, but I don't have as many grapes as this person. And you'd rather trade someone else's mediocre life for what God is trying to offer you in harvest just because you don't want to be thinned. And here's the thing. You don't get to control what gets thinned. That's the reality. It just comes and you're like, because I wouldn't have chose this door. I wouldn't have chosen this thing to get thinned. You don't get to choose sometimes which opportunities close, which relationships end, what doors stay shut, but you do control whether you stay connected to the vine while it happens. And that's where verse 4 comes in. It's really important. It says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide means to dwell, to stay, to make something your home. Here's what thinning reveals. Your home was never the harvest. Your home is the vine. And no matter what is happening to the fruit, can you stay attached to the vine? Because what some of us want to do is as soon as things go haywire in our lives, we want to leave God. We want to detach. But it says that if I'm abiding, and it says it's not only that we're abiding in it, it's abiding in us. Abiding isn't passive. It's the active decision to remain attached to the vine, even when the vine dresser shears are coming for the good things. Even when it's painful, because it's not harmful. Don't detach. Because you can detach, but it doesn't stop the loss. Your detachment from God doesn't stop anything, you from losing anything. It just means you lose and you're no longer drawing life from the source. You are cut and you have nothing to abide in. The branch can't prune itself. It can't thin itself. It can't produce fruit by itself. The only thing the branch controls is whether it stays connected. That is our singular agency. It's choosing to stay home in the vine regardless of what's happening. Because when things get cut, you're not losing your home, you're just losing fruit. And here's the thing, guess what? Fruit gets cut, and then guess what? What happens to fruit? It grows again. That's what we forget in the midst of our situations. We lose something and we forget that more fruit comes. More things come, more opportunities come, but only if you're connected to the vine. Your capacity to bear fruit isn't determined by what you hold. It's determined by what you're connected to, what you're abiding through. And that's why I love this idea of phenology. And that's, again, that's the, it studies the seasons and natural phenomenon, because it reminds me that evolution is incremental. It's not one dramatic transformation that happens in our lives. It's stage after stage after stage, and each stage has its own work. And the reality is, if we're looking, each stage has its own type of loss. We lose at every stage. But the loss is not to no reason, for no reason. The loss is meant to help us get to harvest. And before you make it that, I'm not, again, bringing every single loss into this. I'm not trying to make it universal, so I just want to clarify that. I'm not saying that every loss is thinning or pruning. I'm talking very specifically. But you don't go from dormancy to harvest in one leap. You have to move through phases. Dormancy releases last season's fruit. That's what you don't realize. When you're getting pruned, it's pruning you from what's happening in the last season. So it's cutting the stuff. It may have worked then, but it's not going to work for you in this new season. Let me cut it. It releases the dead wood. Bloom releases the potential, because not every blossom is meant to be a grape, but God is like, I need to show you something. I need you to know that there's something here. There's something after the loss. There's something after the pruning. Thinning releases the good fruit, and then harvest releases the ripened clusters. At every stage, you lose something. But it's whether we will ask ourselves, am I going to detach, or am I going to allow myself to evolve through this? Even when I don't understand, even when it hurts, even when good things are being removed. So I want you to think about three things this week. I'm going to give you three questions. If you have a pen or a paper, if you want to write it down, if you want to jog it in your phone. But I want you to ask yourself three questions this week. What has been thinned from my life recently? Not pruned. Pruned is dead things. Thinned. What good thing has been removed? And again, you may not be in the thinning season. You can't be in all the seasons at once, right? So I'm not suggesting that everyone in here is in the phase where thinning is occurring. You might be dormant. Second question, am I still abiding or have I detached? You're asking, am I still connected to the vine, or because I'm angry with God, because I'm confused, because I'm trying to protect myself, have I detached from the vine? Third question, what is this thinning making room for? Because the question is, what might God be preparing you to ripen that you couldn't carry if you were still holding on to everything else? There are some things that God really wants to do in you. And it may feel like the small grape right now, but if you let all of those things go, it allows it. And this is how you know, because I'm a person, I'm a high capacity person. I'm always doing 700 things at one time. But in this season of my life, my 700 things feel and look different. I'm going to tell you the difference than when you've allowed yourself to be thinned. Because even though I'm doing a lot, there are things that I'm noticing, like alignment. Where all the pieces are folding together and they're happening at the same time. Oh, yes, I'm doing a lot, but I don't feel the same level of stress that I felt previously when I was doing here. I may be doing seven things, but they're all kind of, these are things that I know that God is leading me into. And I have clarity. Because before, when I was doing all this stuff, I was just trying to find a path. Sometimes you're so thirsty to find a path. You want to know where you're going. You want to know what's next, that you will make makeshift paths. You will try to figure it out for God. But when we allow ourselves to be thin, we don't have to do that. And then you notice that maybe things start coming to you. You start saying, oh, I didn't even have to go seek out that opportunity. I didn't even have to do anything for that. And it's not that you didn't do anything, right? It's that everything that you did in every other season acted like an avalanche, so that in this season of your life, there is momentum where you don't have to go grabbing, chasing, begging, calling for the things. The things start coming to you because you're in alignment, because you've allowed God to thin you. You've allowed yourself to be clear about where you're supposed to be going, what you're supposed to be doing, and you're okay if some things fall off. You're okay if some people fall off. You're okay, and you're not apologizing for that because, baby, I'm trying to get to harvest. And the reality is all the grapes can't go with you. So do you want to hold on to the grapes and the clusters and the stuff, or do you want to see harvest? Instead of asking God to give back what was removed, maybe we need to ask God to help us steward what remains. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand all over the building if you are able. And if you know that you are having difficulty allowing God to remove and cut some things from your life, if you're having a hard time letting some things go, can you just raise your hand if you're in the building? Lots of hands. Some got two hands up and a foot. But that's real. But really, when you do this posture, this is a posture of surrender. I can hold nothing in this posture. And because I know that God is withholding nothing from me. God removing is not withholding. It is preparing a path for your harvest. So if you are in the dormant season, celebrate, because that's not the end of the season. That's not the end of the story for you. Be okay. If you are seeing some budding and some leaves, rejoice and be grateful. Because before you weren't seeing that, but no, it's not the end. And when God comes in again with the shears and begins to cut some good things, God, I trust you. God, I believe you. God, I want to be better. God, I want to see harvest. God, I want to be the best version of myself. God, I want to live into all the things, not that just I see for my life, but for who you see for my life, God. I want to be the biggest, best version of myself, God. So when you cut, I will say thank you that you see me, that you see the potential, that you didn't leave me, that you didn't remove me from the vine. And for some of us in here, God, who are so scared to let go, let us know that we are more than what we are in this moment. Let us get a glimpse of our possibility and our power. Holding on to things when they are killing us doesn't suit us, God. And sometimes we think we've been walking with that thing, that person, that narrative, that thing for so long, we don't know what we are without it. But it means we also don't know what it means to be a healthy branch, because all we've known is dysfunction. But God, we want to be healthy. We want to be viable. We want to be productive. We want to grow. And so, God, let us release whatever needs to be released in this place. Let there be a spirit of release. Let there be a spirit of surrender. Let us know that we are safe, that we are okay, that when you come in with the shears, God, it is never to harm us, but it is to help us grow. Let us know that we can trust you, God. When the shears are in your hand, we may not be able to even trust them in our own hands, God. But if we just believe you, if we just stay long enough, if we just abide. Past our discomfort, past our pain, past the circumstances that we thought would break us, past the best thing, the moment we thought was as good as it can get, is the harvest, God. And we want to walk into it. We want to see it. We don't want to be like Moses, who never gets to go into the promised land. We don't want to be watching the promise from somewhere else, being like, that could have been my life. That could have been. We want to walk into our seasons. We want to walk into the promise. And we want to walk knowing that we did it because we trusted you, God. So today, in this moment, whatever it is that we need to release, let us do it. Whatever needs to be pruned, take it. Whatever needs to be thinned, we'll allow it. We surrender to you, God, in this place. Because we trust you. We love you. And it is in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.